What is worth giving your life to? Have you ever asked yourself that question? My dream was to become known as Luke the Physician. I wanted to be respected and live a life of ease with my family. Some would say I threw my life away, but I discovered a story so compelling that giving my life to tell it was the only way I finally found my life. Really, I had no choice. God called me to do this. I've spent my life recording the testimonies of those who were forever changed by their encounters with Jesus. The work has already changed me profoundly. The fantastic account of his birth, the amazing miracles and the teachings so powerful, they had to come straight from heaven. And now it is time to write Jesus' final trip to Jerusalem. Honestly, I've dreaded this day. The story is so powerful, so significant that I'm afraid I am not up to the task. Yet I pray that God will use my humble efforts so that people everywhere may hear the ultimate story of love, the story that begins once up on a tree. And when he had spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. So many have testified of the joy and anticipation of that day. The disciples have said they felt a sense of destiny. Others were sure they were seeing the Messiah himself riding in that curious procession. the people celebrated, as it seemed obvious that God had finally come to free them from tyranny and to establish a new and godly kingdom. So when Jesus and the disciples entered the city, the crowds flooded the streets as news of his arrival spread.
Look in the distance.
What can you see?
Jerusalem, the holy city, so full of history and tradition, full of politics and power, full of hypocrisy and corruption. Jerusalem was a dangerous place for a prophet, and Jesus knew it. But instead of being careful, he preached the truth even more boldly than ever before. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you. How I have longed to gather your children together, and you would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. And I tell you, you shall not see me until you shall say, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.
People rise to praise you.
Then he went into the temple and began driving out those who were selling and overthrew the tables of the money changers. And he said to them, "Is it not written, 'My house will be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers and thieves?" Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. And high priests didn't have to wait long for their opportunity. Judas, one of the disciples, offered to lead them to Jesus when the crowds weren't around. It was almost too good to be true, and they quickly seized the opportunity. Jerusalem would waste no time in killing this prophet. We all remember times when we have had to say goodbye. As a physician, I have been there many times when a patient knows the end is near. I feel honored to be present as he gathers his loved ones around to say goodbye. Of course, there is always sorrow, but there is also a powerful presence in the room as someone stands on the threshold between life and death. I'm reminded of that very same feeling as I write about the last Passover meal Jesus shared with his disciples. Though his words must have confused them, it's clear now that Jesus was saying goodbye. There must have been a sweetness amidst the sorrow as he shared with them the bread and the cup, and the words he spoke would live with them forever. And he took the cup and blessed it.
Remember me.
And he came out and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples followed him to the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. Sometimes when I write, the power and emotion of the story overwhelm me. I am a physician, a man of science, and yet the drama grips me. The scene is so striking. Jesus is praying in the garden, torn between his dread of death and his commitment to God. Even as he prays for deliverance, he knows that one of his own has gone to betray him. The other disciples, still puzzled by Jesus' words of doom, are exhausted and fight to stay awake. And then, just over the next hill, there's a procession of torches and swords as they come to arrest Jesus. Soon they will set into motion the hellish ordeal of a humiliating trial and a slow, torturous death. Why did Jesus have to suffer so throughout his life? Is it inevitable that one who is courageous enough to stand for what is right, who lives in truth and love, must be persecuted by this cruel and corrupt world? Truth threatens and love challenges, but both are vulnerable. After questioning and beating Jesus most of the night, they finally took him to trial. I am still shocked by the rage of evil power that exploded on him. Even Pilate, the Judean ruler, was appalled by what they were doing to this innocent man. Pilate was ready to set Jesus free, But the crowd was relentless in its cry for his execution. Over and over, crucify, crucify, crucify. As a physician, when I consider the act of crucifixion, what it does to the human body, I am ashamed to be part of the same human race that invented it. The cruelty of the cross is unbelievable. The tearing of the flesh, the exposure, the dehydration, the suffocating pressure on the lungs. How could they inflict this kind of suffering on a man who had shown such extraordinary compassion to this world? I'm still amazed Jesus didn't fight back. He could raise people from the dead. Surely he could strike these people down. But Jesus didn't seek revenge. Instead, he did a miraculous thing that is still hard for me to fathom. He prayed for them. From the very cross on which they nailed him, Jesus prayed for his tormentors. Such an act of love is far beyond this world. It is a love that touches the depths of my soul. And the soldiers led him into the palace, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him with purple. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! They struck him on the head with a reed and spat upon him, and knelt him and bowed before him. And after they mocked him, they took off the purple and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots to see what each one should take. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and breathed his last. Sometimes death can be a blessing. One of the few who stayed until they lowered Jesus down from the cross was his mother, Mary. It had been torture to stay and watch her son suffer so. But now his suffering was over, and though her heart was breaking, she must have felt a sense of relief.
Jesus, now your suffering's over. Poor and tortured body, now it's time to rest. Why were they so angry? Love was turned to hating.
Soon it will be seven.
tortured body. Now it's time to rest. Now it's time to rest. It's time to rest.
And the women saw the tomb and how the body was laid in it. And they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath. Lord God, your will is a mystery, that you would become a man and subject yourself to the cruelties of this world to demonstrate your love for us. Have mercy on me, for I am not worthy to even set my pen to the telling of this story. Still, through your death, you give us life. Through your grace, you make us whole. And by your strength, I will never turn from telling the story of your deep and holy love. With every breath I take, through every day I live, let me be a witness of this story of your heavenly love. I am exhausted from this writing, as though I had actually lived through this story. I'll continue tomorrow. It is time to rest. I could not sleep in peace if the story ended at the tomb. I would not give my life to its telling, but tonight I rest in the assurance that tomorrow belongs to the Lord. I rejoice in the glorious things I have yet to tell. The miracle of an empty tomb, the wonder of Jesus' resurrection and his appearance to people on earth. Then there are the glorious eyewitness accounts of Christ ascending into heaven right before their eyes. Now I travel with the Apostle Paul and see mighty wonders with my own eyes. There is so much more to be written as I continue to record the Acts of the Apostles. Each day is an adventure as we take the story of Christ to the ends of the earth. I have been faithful in recording all of these things, and now I place them in your hands. What will you do with this story? I pray that you'll embrace this story and allow Christ to live in you and through you. Live your life with a great hallelujah for all that Christ has done.